Welcome to episode 15 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On this week's show, I'm turning back the clock a few months and sharing a talk I gave to a local business club. As well as my commissions of work as a photographer, I also get asked to give presentations on all manner of topics which, broadly, concern my activities throughout the year. The topic being discussed is the history of photography, but with an emphasis on how the camera is used as a documentary device. Just a couple of quick notes for you. In a number of places, I make references which you may not recognise. For example, I refer to cartes de visite, which are more commonly known as cartes de visite, and you'll also hear of a man called Joseph Niepce. He's sometimes referred to as Joseph Niepce. So, with that out of the way, let's get straight to the talk. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 15.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming along this afternoon, breaking up your Friday with a bit of a diversion, kindly provided to us today by Giles Babbage, who's going to talk to us a little bit about photography, past, present, and future. I think we all know a little bit about photography, which is probably a dangerous thing, but I'll let Giles expect. So, good, welcome Giles, in the usual way, please.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Lance, for the invitation. Right, this is not a lecture about why you should use me as a photographer. It's a Friday afternoon, we've all had a busy week. What I want to talk to you about today is, well, let me give you a background to what I do. I'm a commercial and editorial photographer. I produce imagery of people, places, things, how you use imagery to promote those various aspects, whether it's people working, whether it's product photography, whether it's getting into stupid predicaments up cranes. This particular shot came from a client who have sent me on many occasions up cranes in chiller rooms at -5 degrees. The only thing they haven't done is send me underground or underwater. And I jokingly said to them, when are you going to do that? And they had this glint in their eye and I quickly got out of their office. And that sort of.
Are you actually up there on a par with that thing then?
I'm actually above that. And that's about, I think it was about 40 metres, something like that. And sort of. That's too easy. That's too easy. Now, with technology, and we'll touch on this, technology, I could easily clamp a camera onto an item like that and fire it from the safety of an office down on the ground. As long as it's within 1,600 feet, it's not a problem.
But where's the fun in that, John?
I like a challenge. What can I say? Okay, so, and again, people that know Van Morrison, remember Herbie Armstrong? Runs the fountain in Rowan's Castle now. That's him. And I'm currently doing a book project with the fountain. It's a self-driven project, not being paid for it. As a photographer, I can't always be doing commissioned work. If I have just commissioned work, I've got nothing to show other than my interpretation of other people's ideas. So it's important to do this. So this is what we're doing. It's live music every Thursday night. If you want to be photographed, come along. Okay. So this isn't a particularly great picture, but it goes back to the basis of photography. And what is photography? Now, we all have cameras. Hands up anyone who actually doesn't have a digital camera now. You have. Between you have a digital camera. Okay. Now, where's my friend there? You were looking at this earlier. This is a camera. It's a cardboard box. Okay. Where's the film? Where's the sensor? At the front here, it's got a piece of electrical tape and a tiny, tiny, sort of a fraction of a millimetre hole. All a camera is a light-tight box. It lets light in one end and it records it on something that's sensitive to it at the back. This particular example had sheets of photographic paper, like you have in the darkroom when you make your prints, stuck on there with tape. It was all sealed up and produced imagery like this. No lens, no electronics. It's the pure root of photography. Now, let's get you another image up here. This is not one of mine. This, does anyone know who took this? Anyone that's a keen photographer or knows anything about the history of photography? It's taken by a chap called Joseph, let's get his pronunciation right, Niepce, French chap. He was an inventor. And this is an example of one of the first permanent photographs. And there is varying scales of what the first photograph was, but this was an example. And just to prove how nerdy I am when it comes to photography, I was listening to podcasts about the history of photography over the way here, just to scrape up on my knowledge here. But photography in its purest form, there's no difference to that, to the box camera that I've got here, literally is a box, and the cameras that I use now. This is around the 1820s. When you start to get into the 1850s, you get more structured, and this is quite a jump. Obviously, the technology that Niepce was working with was vastly different from what we are and whatever came in between. But then you started to think about how people used imagery, and to be photographed, to go to a photographer's studio was a big deal. It was a family day out. People went in their finest, and it was very composed, it was very structured, because of course, you know, I can freeze movement in an 1/8000th of a second now. They didn't have that. We're talking minutes long, some depending on lighting, what have you, could have two, three hour long pictures. Still can, but one of the things that popularized photography, this is around about the 1850s, is what was known as carte de visite. And these are two examples here. And you may have seen these in charity shops or in parents, grandparents' attics. They're cardboard. On the reverse, they have information about the photographer's studio. This one has written at the bottom, if you can't read it at the back there. This or any other portrait can be enlarged up to life size and finished in monochrome, oil or water colours. And that was pretty clever stuff back then. You will have seen later imagery where people hand colour, hand tint their pictures using inks and what have you. Have any of you seen a film called Gentleman's Relish? Had Billy Connolly in it. It was going back a few years. I think I've got a slide here.
Anything that had might be afraid to admit it.
Come on, be proud. Bit of saucy photography. No, it's not that bad. It's around the time, the early 20th century, when photography was gaining ground as being, you know, the new thing. It was, you know, had the scientific background, but it also then started to become a bit glamorous. As I say, people wanted to be photographed and they wanted to, you know, make a big thing of it. This DVD, you can still get it. It's not sort of the sort of thing that you would necessarily find in, you know, sort of HMV or what have you now. But taking away the subject matter of the particular film at the moment, has anyone heard of it, or is this total revelation?
Yeah, I should have saw it.
Yeah, Billy Connolly there was a he's an artist who's finding it very difficult because commercial portraiture is kind of a dying breed, as it were. He then starts to play around with photography. His assistant at the back there realizes that he can take, shall we say, sections of these pictures and enlarge them, and under the counter they can be sold to gentlemen as gentlemen's relish. And we've come on leaps and bounds since then. It's all wonderful, of course. But then when you start to look around the time of the American Civil War, jumping forward, Matthew Brady was an American photographer who really started to use the camera as a documentary device. And this is certainly going back to how my own background and the work that I do, it's about recording things. It is about creating a document for future use, whether it's for an archive, whether it's for friends and family to pass on to generations. If it's, for example, if you have a new premises or a new product, you want a record of that. I'm not a war photographer. I've thankfully never been in a war zone. Although when I did actually look to go to university, I studied at university in Surrey. I actually went up to Wales, and I was offered a place in Wales, and I just didn't want to live for 3 years in Swansea. But the head of photography there, we were walking around, and he was he introduced me to a girl that had just come back from, I don't know, Bosnia or some particular war zone. And, you know, she's all friendly and what have you, with a little limp in her, you know, so what have there. Well, she got shot in the ankle while covering her. And this was just taking some time out to go to a war zone because she wanted to do photojournalism. I'd rather dodge punches from angry celebrities than bullets. Not that I tend to come into contact with angry celebrities too often. So Brady was, you know, really pushing the bounds, and there's a lot of information on the internet and books that you can pick out images of his. And I'd recommend it if you are interested in photography. It's a good place to see as a reference point. Now, photography then started, as the years progressed, people started to see the value. As I say, thinking, well, how can we promote ourselves? This is actually a picture from my own family collection. My grandfather passed away a year and a couple of days ago. He was 98. So as you can imagine, there are boxes of photographs going back to his parents, grandparents, what, you know, it goes way, way back. This is actually Union Street on the Isle of Wight, which I gather is a branch of a bank or an estate agent or something now. I think that's a shame, you know. Well, you know, fresh meat hanging in the windows. I'm not sure if we can do that so much now, but, you know. But this again, you see, what you've got here, you've got the gentlemen that work in the butchery here. You've got all of their, what they're offering. We are guessing that this is probably around Christmas time, because you probably can't see here, but you've got everything from goose and chickens. You've got a sheep here, you've got rabbits, it's quite a variety. Again, I'm just indulging myself because I love old photographs. You know, I make no apologies, it's what I do. The idea that, of course, everyone now thinks about digital and how, you know, get a photographer in to record it. People have been doing it for years. We do it every day because we have cameras on our phones. We have little point and shoots. Myself, and you'll see a picture of this in a moment, I've got a point and shoot camera here. It is of professional quality, but this allows me to do video as well, lets me record audio. It does time lapse. If any of you have ever gone onto my blog and seen behind the scenes videos of any of my shoots, you'll see chances are they're time lapse, so you can see start to finish the whole process. They're brilliant, and yes, I do carry a camera around with me all the time, but we don't think of carrying a camera necessarily to record an image, because it's all there, it's in our pocket. Now, if you're thinking, that's one thing to have it, photography for your business and what have you, but chances are we're thinking, well, what about pictures for our own use? Who remembers those? Trip 35. Yeah. I've got six. And they're brilliant. They're brilliant. The Olympus lenses, the Zuiko lenses, they're still lovely and sharp. They're very, you know, basic cameras by today's standards. But do you remember the David Bailey adverts?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, David Bailey? And with a smug grin, he goes, well, yes, actually. Yeah. He helped to popularise those because of his own popularity. But on Olympus Trip 35, you end up getting pictures like this. Which one's me? And don't say the little girl on the right. I don't know why we're all wearing red trousers. You probably can't see here. We were looking at these pictures last night, my partner and I, and I had to say it before she did. Look at that plank there. If you can't see at the back, there's a plank of wood on the floor. I'm the one on the left-hand side doing a wonderful... Well, I don't know what I'm doing, but it looks painful. I think it probably was. And that's why I'm not a professional dancer. So we've all got pictures like this. And whether it was... You know, you could, in theory, you could get a pinhole camera and make images that you can keep in a drawer, in an album, what have you. Because the technology is literally everywhere. It's not, this was, I didn't pay for this. I think I might have paid for the electrical tape that's on the front, but that's about it. But modern photography. Who remembers film? See, I start to glaze over now. It wasn't that long ago that we were all shooting film. I was in my store cupboard last night and I thought, I need to get a picture of some film. And I thought, what do I do? Do I take a film camera? Do I take a picture of my old film cameras? Because I've still got them. Because that's part of, for those of you who don't know, I first picked up a camera just taking snaps of anything when I went to Sea Life Centre or D-Day Museum or for a walk on the beach when I was about 9. And it just got more and more obsessive from there, I guess. But yeah, film is, you give it another 10 years time or another generation, and I'm talking about pictures from the 1800s here, it's going to be the same thing with people that are learning photography about film. Do you remember film? Oh, Dad, what's this old camera? Why is there no picture on the back? You know, yeah. it's part of the history, it's part of the progression. Now, the next slide here, the Canon G9, which I still use. It's a few years old now. It's been repaired a couple of times, but the modern day version is about 500 and something odd pounds. And although I could happily go out and buy one, I'm not one of these people that as soon as the new model comes out, go and replace my kit, because my clients are happy with the results. I'm happy with the way the kit performs for me, and this camera still does. Whether it's something like a G9, and I took that on my digital SLR camera, or that is one of my cameras, that was taken on a BlackBerry. Okay, so this picture has appeared on my blog. It's therefore appeared on other people's blogs because they link to mine and what have you. A lot of the imagery you see in the newspapers, especially tabloids, chances are they're chance pictures. And people happen to be passing by something and see a footballer who's pranged his car up a lamppost and thought, oh, I could get 200 quid for that, snap, on their iPhones or what have you. From that phone, if you've got the right email address, if you've got the picture desk of a library, or you could phone up, do we still call it directory inquiries? I don't know, but you could ask for the number or get the email address. From your phone, you could send that picture straight to the picture desk, and you're in there before a photographer has even got time to turn up to take a picture of the aftermath. And this is how photography during the war, the latter years, my dissertation actually at university was discussing how the camera is used, the trace of an event. So for example, footsteps in the sand is a trace of an event that happened. Not particularly graphic, but when you look at a shelled out tank, that is a physical marker of an activity that happens. And what happened, photography came along, especially around the sort of the Gulf War, what have you, all the TV cameras got in there, and you remember how well documented it was every night? The cameras then came in and kind of cleared up afterwards. Okay, there are photographers out there on the front lines doing what they do, but photography already was starting to slip and take a sort of not a back seat, but it was, you know, it was a level playing field, the way technology is moving. So where do we go from here with the future? How many of you have a Facebook account? I don't need to know what it is, but how many of you have one? Or how many are you going to admit? Everyone else look away now. Okay, so you've probably posted pictures on there. You've probably commented on other people's pages.
No,
Lance. We don't do that sort of thing, do we? But if you are of that persuasion, we'll sort it out later, sorry. If you are of that persuasion, you have a wealth of technology very cheaply. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You guys are business people. Who's not on LinkedIn here? You should be.
Why?
Because it will get you. It will. Okay, I got a phone call a few months ago, or was it an email? Do we speak on the phone now? I got an email a few weeks ago from a lady I hadn't seen for 4 years when I used to do more networking over Chichester way. Can you come do this relaunch of our shop? She didn't have to phone me, but she saw that I was on LinkedIn and she came to me 4 years on. That's why you need to think about it. Don't necessarily do it, but at least think about it. Every day I connect and reconnect with people that are using social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these things, to bring business and to make contacts. You can use things like Facebook, of course. Most people use it for personal purposes, keeping in touch with friends. But I'm already, in this last week, I've got a job that's coming up in the following weeks down in Bristol, purely because of someone that I know that I've connected with through my girlfriend on Twitter. I've never met her, but she is an artist in Bristol. Through a recommendation, we got chatting, a couple of emails went back and forth. She's obviously seen my work, and as a result, in a few weeks' time, I'm doing a shoot for her in Bristol. I've never met her. I haven't sent out an email. I'm not doing cold calling, nothing like that. A lot of people rubbish it, and I'm not here to well, actually, yeah, I am here to preach it because it's brilliant. But if you want to, you know, for the sake of having a chat, it's not going to cost anything, just get in touch with me because I'll happily talk about it, like with photography, till the cows come home. So where do we go from here? That rubbish-looking item, it's actually not rubbish, it's rather fantastic, but it is a camera, and it's a concept that someone's come up with. If you can't tell from the picture, remember the box camera? The light comes through here, it goes, technical term, wiggy, 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 all the way through here, and there's a screen on the back there, and there's buttons around the side and what have you. Now, it's quite flawed in its prototype stage, I won't go into details, but you, hearing some of the kind of reaction at the back of the room when you saw that picture, that's not a camera. What is a camera? Is this a camera? Yes, it is. Is your phone a camera? Yes. Cameras don't have to look like cameras. As long as you've got a way of recording the light, have you heard of a camera obscura? Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's just a room that's blacked out to the light. Do you know how it was originally used? By artists. Vermeer used camera obscura. Basically, you have, if imagine this is a window here, and it's all blocked out to light. You make a small hole, and the smaller the hole, the sharper the image. What he would do is would stand opposite that window, opposite that hole, with a piece of paper, and move it back and forth until he got an image appearing sharply. And it's the same difference, well, it's the same thing as the small box camera I've got here. He was just using a room. This is going way, way back, before photography, per se. And there's no lens or anything, but he was getting an image on a piece of paper, just a standard piece of paper, not light sensitive, but he was tracing around it. So the camera as a device to create an image was already there, even before the technology to physically record it was already there. So he was, you know, he wasn't ahead of his time, but he was certainly using the technology as was available. So that's just about it in terms of where we go from here. Well, there's megapixels and there's resolutions and there's buffers and there's all sorts of bells, whistles and gizmos and whatnot. But at the end of the day, my approach to photography is, because I have always loved photography and it's what I do, I'm very lucky it's what I do day to day, this sort of thing is very interesting to look at. But if I could turn up and do a shoot, I can't imagine going to city, you know, big financiers and doing corporate portraits on a box camera. If I could, and they were happy with the results, yeah, then why not? There's a whole picture library out there called the Trevelyan Library, if you get a chance to check it out online. And they have very artistic pictures that are on there. And they're using, the photographers are often using cameras they might have got in a charity shop, or old Russian cameras with plastic lenses. Technically, not the best thing, but it's about the image. People get very hung up on the technology. It's just a process, it's a conduit to get the final results. Of course, it's very easy to get caught up on technology, which is exactly why, apart from having a long-standing passion for photography, I always give myself time to look back onto our industry's rich and varied past for ideas and inspiration. There's so much reference material and so much we can learn, it seems a shame not to take advantage of it to grow as photographers, knowing our work will be all the stronger as a result. One final thing, just a reminder that I'm still on the lookout for suggestions from you about what you'd like to see and hear on the Active Photographer website and podcast. Now, this could be about technique, or it could be a review, or perhaps something more general, which would add to the diversity of content I share. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, remember I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage.
You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.